You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Tuesday, November 24th, and unfortunately, it can't be a Tony Tuesday, but we'll get into why just in a bit. Instead, today, we're bumping up our guy from Wednesday, Dean Iampietro. He's going to take us through today's show. We got a lot to talk about. First, we got to talk about all the crazy news. Vance McDonald's back, but... And that's great, but the Ravens got two players with COVID, and everyone was running around with their heads on fire because they were wondering if that meant the end of the Thanksgiving Day game. We'll explain what's going on with that in the first segment. In the second segment, we'll get you the Steelers snap count report, as we like to do on Tuesdays, going over the usage of all the different players and what it might mean for what the team's scheme is or what they're doing. Then finally, there's a lot of messaging going on with the Steelers about this undefeated season. We're going to go into what that messaging is and where's some really good things that are coming from that all in the final segment. Today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi.
This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. I like to watch this season when I'm going over game footage to see how TJ Watt gets a lot of his sacks. When I do, I like to drink a nice cold Pepsi. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through your game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
Let's get into it. We are back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. It is Tuesday, November 24th, and... we couldn't have Tony on, Tony Serino for Tony Tuesdays, because the man got married this past weekend. So give him a congratulations in the Facebook group, on Twitter, at Steelers Country. He did the big thing. He's been working on it for such a long time. So congratulations to Tony. We'll have him back on next week. But in his place, we have a familiar friend, a friend of the program, friend in real life, the man, Dean Iampietro from Channel 11 WPXI here in Pittsburgh.
Hello. Tony obviously needs to get his priorities straight. I mean, it's supposed to be Tony Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's the priority.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand, you know, getting married or whatever, but this is, you know, Steeler football. Okay. Priorities, Tony. Let's go. Come on.
and the joke was made that, yeah, I saw people on Twitter saying that you should have had to pre-order the Butler jersey to wear it during your wedding, because for those who have been following the podcast, Tony made a bet before the season started that the Steelers would not get 30 or more turnovers, and with four this past weekend, I think that gives them 21 on the season.
Man, he's so wearing that shirt.
Yeah, and they still have to play a Burrowless Bengals, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen. And I'm probably missing a few ones. I mean, Lamar Jackson is, I mean, you got, was, who'd you say?
The Washington football team.
Oh, geez. Alex Smith. Yeah. I mean, but Alex Smith protects the football. I will say that might be one that might be harder, but still, either way, you got a lot of young quarterbacks they can get this on. So Tony, you're going to have to get that Butler jersey. He said he's already pretty much resigned himself to it. So Dean, thanks as always for coming on the show, but we got to talk about the top news, man. And it's a real deal. The Ravens have been hit with COVID, and I was developing this all day, and it's crazy because I spent all day on Steelers Zooms covering it for DKPittsburghSports.com, where you can subscribe for $4.99 a month or $39.99 a year.
Well done.
Thank you. but I was covering all morning, and I thought, I was like, oh, this would be easy. I could just talk about what I talked about on these shows. No, all that basically doesn't matter anymore, because you know why? The Ravens had two players test positive for COVID-19. Their running backs, J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram, and because of close contacts, Brandon Williams, the team's defensive tackle, he is on the COVID-19 reserve list. And if you're on the list now, Dean, it means you're out for 5 days. No matter what happens, you're out for 5 days, because you cannot be on the list and then get back in. So he can't play in the game. They can't play in the game. That's a huge blow to the Ravens right now in a team that's reeling after two tough losses back-to-back.
It is really tough for them. And in honor of Tony's absence, allow me to place the tinfoil hat on my head for just a moment.
Tinfoil Tony on Dean.
Isn't it convenient that the Ravens are now having running backs missing and COVID issues and shutdowns right after Derrick Henry destroys their spirit an overtime loss that puts them down four games behind the Steelers that maybe they'd want to try to get the league to give them a few extra days to get ready? If maybe they're – I'm kidding, guys. I am so kidding. I can't even do it
to
myself.
He was having me telling in there. I was like, yeah, Dean's on something.
I can't even do it. Two guys legitimately tested positive for COVID. The Titans didn't give it to the Ravens to get it back at us. The Ravens aren't doing it to get out of it. John Harbaugh this afternoon – or Harbaugh this afternoon came out and said – you know, the game is on. We contacted the NFL. They told us the game is on. So there's unless there is a bigger widespread outbreak, it looks like this game is going to be played. There's so much riding on it in terms of, money talks, let's just be perfectly honest, and the network and everything else on Thanksgiving night could be the most watched regular season game of the year. It's going to take a lot for them to move this game. So the Ravens, though, without Dobbins, and Dobbins has clearly become their featured back. Mike Tallman was gushing about it on Monday morning. And the thing that the Steelers can't do and the fans shouldn't do, and I don't think the Steelers will, is sit back and say, oh, well, they don't have Ingram. They don't have Dobbins. We're good to go. No, you're not.
Nope.
Gus Edwards can gas you. Lamar Jackson, who was still overrated.
You had to get your dig in.
What's happened to him since I said that? And they can still run the ball, and they are still very capable of running the ball. And the run defense looks a little better for the Steelers, but they can't sleep on this. They cannot look at this misfortune that the Ravens are going through, and we certainly would never wish COVID on anyone, and hopefully Dobbins and Ingram can get healthy. We certainly hope for that. In terms of who will be playing, though, they can't sleep. They can't sleep on it. They can't relax. This is AFC North football's in the kitchen, so they got to be ready to cook.
Absolutely, they got to be ready for that. Dean tried his own Tomlinism right there. he has been saying that a lot, but in all reality here's the thing, is that the Ravens, they shut down their facility on Monday, then they reopened it by 4 p.m.
Yeah.
They're raring to go. They want to get back out there and win the game. Cause they know they need this game. If they lose this game, one, they're locked out of the AFC North. They can't win the division. The Browns will be able to, if the Steelers tank and the Browns beat them at the end of the year, and there's a whole bunch of things that have to happen. But beside that, they'll be locked out of the division, they'll be forced to a wild card race, and they'll potentially be two games behind the Browns, who play the Jaguars this weekend. So this is a must-win game for the Ravens. And I think all the stops will be pulled out to make that happen in a road game on a short week against the Steelers, coming off of back-to-back losses. There's going to be some desperation there. So you're right. If I'm the Steelers, I don't sleep on this. If I'm a Steelers fan, don't you dare for one second think this is the game. Because, I mean, y'all, as much as y'all talk about trap games, and we just got done talking about the Jaguars, this is one of those games where you think that they should have it. Don't bank on nothing. And they're not banking on it. You know, I was on the Zooms with Stephon Tuitt and Chase Claypool and mm-hmm. Area, and they're all saying the same things. Like, you know, you know who this team is. You got to respect them. And I think they have to be ready. And on top of that, not only do they have to be ready, but they have to you're right. The NFL is going to make sure this game happens because this is Steelers-Ravens. This is Thursday night football. This is Thanksgiving night. You know, with all the rules and restrictions that are going out across the country, I can just now in Pittsburgh, and more news updates here, the Steelers just released a statement about a half hour ago from us recording this, saying that there will be no fans allowed at games after this Ravens game. And but the restrictions are going out for COVID, so there's going to be less travel for Thanksgiving. More people are going to be in their homes, which means more people, more eyes are going to be on the television potentially. And it could be a situation where we see, you know, increase there. The NFL is like, we're not losing the biggest rivalry in football, maybe the best rivalry in all sports, on the biggest night where we could probably get a lot of people to watch because of COVID. No, no, this game's going to happen. So I think the NFL, they're going to get them out there. This is going to work. And again, you have to hope that the Ravens, their spread does not continue, because if it doesn't, then that means this game's on. And on top of that, the Steelers are getting Vance McDonald back off of COVID. So all sorts of good news for the Steelers, rough news for the Ravens. But if the Steelers get to play this game, I think this is everything you could hope for as far as you're coming in off of a 10-game win streak and everything's clicking for you. And the Ravens are coming in off of a 2-game losing streak, and they've lost 3 out of the last 4, and they're struggling, and they're on the road. This is the recipe to win this week. We got to throw it to a break here. When we come back, we'll give our snap count report now that that's out for the last game, get you a sense of who played, who didn't, and what it means moving forward. Before we do that, we got to talk about our great sponsors at Axon. Protecting my family is my number one priority, but I want to do it safely. The people at Taser believe that safer self-defense is better self-defense. Taser's line of non-lethal self-protective devices are small and lightweight enough to carry with you or in your glove compartment or purse, yet they're powerful enough to incapacitate an attacker. Guns carry unnecessary risk for you and those around you, and even pepper spray can harm you as much as an attacker, and it's often ineffective. But Taser products are safer and easy to use. They use an electrical charge to immobilize your attackers for up to 30 seconds, allowing you time to escape and send emergency dispatch to your GPS location. Taser devices come loaded with features like laser-assisted targeting and emergency dispatch, which will send response teams to your GPS location upon firing. More than 237,000 lives have been saved with the Taser network of devices, apps, and personnel. Protect yourself and your family with Taser's line of smart self-defense products. Taser is available without a permit in most of the United States. Get the Taser Pulse Plus or Taser Strike Light at Taser.com with promo code NFL. That's Taser.com with promo code NFL. You'll save 15% now. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with my friend and guest, Dean Impietro from WPXI TV. Now,
greetings and salutations, my friends.
Yeah, there you are. There he is. So it's time for the snap count report. It's something we're trying to do every Tuesday now, because that's when the snap counts come out Monday. So we don't get to talk about them on the immediate recap of the show. Other game, but snap count report gives you a sense of who played the most, what the Steelers were using more of in the game, in their last game. We'll lead off with the offense. Dean, it was interesting here. Only 3 Steelers offensive linemen played the entire game. But I think that was, again, because of the Steelers getting such a big lead, they pulled their oldest guys. The 3 guys that got the most snaps, Villanueva, Filer, and Okorafor, also a very good sign. They had 75 offensive snaps to the Jaguars, 58 offensive snaps. That usually means you dominated time of possession. DeCastro had 69 snaps, as well as Pouncey and Ben. So you can see that, to me, that means they pulled their older guys that were more experienced, that they, you know, once the game got close. They got in their places, they put in J.C. Hasenauer for 7 snaps. Doran Gray for 6 snaps, and that looks like, and of course they had Gerald Hawkins as the extra tackle for 13. But where it got really interesting, Dean, was the split of the offensive weapons, as it usually does. The leading offensive playmaker that got snaps was Deontay Johnson with 60 snaps, representing 80% of the time. Juju right behind him with 59 snaps. Connor with 52. Claypool with 47. And then a major drop to 21 snaps for Washington, and right behind him was Ray McCloud with 20. Dean, that says to me that they really trust those first 3 guys. Also, Eric Ebron played 70 snaps, so he was the skill position player with the most snaps in this game, but it says that they really trust those top 4 or 5 guys.
Absolutely. I'm actually not surprised to see Washington and McLeod evening out a little bit, because McLeod has shown himself, especially on the jet sweeps, to be a playmaker and someone who, you know, when you give him the ball, you're like, okay, let's see what's going to happen. You know, Washington's a solid guy, but I think he's, you know, when it comes to the pecking order, he's right where he should be. And, you know, I think you want, you know, Johnson, Schuster, and Claypool out there for the majority in terms of the wide receivers. That's who you want out there, because those are guys that are just making plays now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You got to get the ball to the playmakers. And what's really interesting, though, that when you get the ball in the hands of those guys, they make play. Ray McLeod, four for four on his catches. The one catch that James Washington made this week was a first down conversion on third down. You know, a couple weeks ago, he scored a huge touchdown against the Cowboys. I mean, this guy, he shows up. And I think it says further to what he's doing, that he can take advantage of even the smallest of opportunities. Let's flip to the defensive side of the ball, because that's always usually the more telling side. Again, the defense was on the field for 58 snaps. No one player played all 58 snaps. I think that's good to note here. But the leaders, of course, usually the secondary make up with 54 snaps. That's 93%. Right behind them was Steven Nelson with 53. Watt with 50%. They used him a lot in this game.
I think 86%, 50 snaps.
Yes, 50 yeah. Snaps, 86%. And then behind him was Spillane with 84% of the snaps at 49, tied with Terrell Evans for 49. Vince Williams right behind with 47 for 81%. Before we go any further, Dean, I think it's interesting that Spillane got so much of the playing time at inside linebacker when we know they've been excited about Avery Williamson.
Yeah, they've clearly trust him. Williamson was in there for 8 snaps.
Yeah.
So, and I don't necessarily think it's a slight on Williamson. He's probably getting more time to learn the system based on the fact that Spillane is handling his business. And he's showing that he can do the job. And, you know, as long as you don't expect Spillane to be Devin Bush, Spillane is going to be a good Spillane. And that's good. And it's solid. And that's what you need. And you don't need everybody to be a superstar. You need stars, and you need the rest of the pieces to fit and make it a complete package. And Spillane is doing everything that he needs to do. And obviously the coaching staff has the confidence in him to keep him in there for that much of the game. And I think that's great to see.
I agree. I think it's huge to see that he's getting that kind of confidence. And you're not seeing him be exploited, Dean. That's the other thing here, is that when he's out there, he looks good. There was the one play early on where he got beat underneath with a pass to James Robinson. Again, James Robinson, one of the better players. But according to Pro Football Focus, Spillane in this game was targeted 3 times. He gave up 2 catches for 24 yards. And only one of those went for a first down. So to me, I mean, that says he's doing his job. I mean, he's not being exploited. Yeah. You're not seeing him do too poorly.
I don't see how that would be different from a Devin Bush line.
Right. Like, Devin Bush might get beat for that. He might make a better play on the football against James Robinson. But all in all, I mean, that's a backup player not being exploited for big plays. That's all you can ask out of that guy.
Now, I got to ask you, because I'm not as experienced on reading the snap counts and getting into depth of what they mean. I look at Cam Hayward being on the field for 37 snaps, 64%. That seems low to me. Is that accurate?
No, that is actually kind of low. That is something that I was looking at, and I was like, huh. Now, here's the other thing. The Steelers have had control of this game from the third quarter on, especially early in the fourth quarter.
So Thursday rest kind of thing, maybe?
I think that might have been what you saw here, because I think with Cam Hayward, I think that you see him and you're thinking, hey, because normally during a week anyways, normally during the week, you see the Steelers willing to sort of spread things out and keep the legs fresh on the defense, right? And with that, you know, sometimes you're kind of like, okay, you know, how are we gonna keep the snaps down? And this is by far – well, actually, no, this isn't by far as low as – the last time he had 37 snaps was against the Texans.
And that was another game where he played. I mean, he played fairly, you know, very well. I mean, he plays very well in pretty much all the games. But I, again, I'm with you. I think this was more about there's a short week ahead. They already had a rotation to keep him with fresh legs. Also, Tyson Alulu was back, and I think they were willing to use him a lot more in the backup role, and to spell Hayward to get him out off the field sometimes. And I think it shows with Alulu getting 31 snaps in this game. But I think that helps keep him fresh. And then once the game got out of hand and the Steelers were in control, they're like, why do we need Cam Hayward out there? Why are we going to get him hurt? You know, Stephon Tuitt, he's in his prime. Like, you know, he's a little bit younger. He only had 42 snaps in this game. But, I mean, again, when you look at the rest of the defensive line, Henry Mondo had 9 snaps. Chris Wormley had 8 snaps. Carlos Davis had 8 snaps. You know, that's when you start adding those up, especially with Titan Alulu with 31 there, you start seeing that, hey, they were willing to rotate their defensive front a lot in this game. And I think that was a big reason why you only saw Hayward with 37, which still, I mean, that's 64% of the time. He's on there more than half of the time. But again, in a game where they were controlling, I think they were willing to give that up.
See, I think these are the kinds of things that I think that fans need to look at and realize. There's good coaching happening because everyone just looks at, okay, it's a blowout. Why is the quarterback still in the game? That's all anyone ever talks about. And no one really ever talks about, okay, they're sitting, they're resting Cam Hayward a little bit. And so you have a chance to rest, you know, or work in, first of all, work in some of your younger players to get them reps in the game, to rest some of your veteran players, because you have a game on Thursday,
right,
where your opponent, and you didn't know it at the time, but your opponent is in an overtime game where they can't rest anybody.
Right.
Okay, and that gives the Steelers a distinct advantage. You have an opportunity, and you take that advantage, and I think that is a really a testament to the coaching staff adjusting as the game went on to read what was happening, to read what the players need, what their players need, and to execute it, and then, to, of course, do it and win. I think that's a fantastic job of coaching.
I think you're right. It's a great usage of your players. Other guys here, Tuitt had 42 snaps at 72%. Dupree had 39 for 67%. You know, Dupree getting less snaps is also interesting. But again, I think that was them getting their rotation in there. Alex Highsmith had 14 snaps for 24%, and Adini with 13 for 22%. That shows that they're willing to use those guys. I think Highsmith is going to get higher and higher usage as the year goes on because they really trust him. The cornerback situation was interesting. Joe Haden, of course, was hurt for a bit, so right. Came out, came back on, came back out. He had 37 snaps like Cam Hayward. We haven't heard too much, Dean, about his situation, so I get that that's usually a good sign. Because, you know, like Tomlin noted, Zach Gentry, his knee injury and everything after the game, he's going to be out for some time, if not the whole season. But Tomlin didn't say anything about Haden. That's usually a good thing. Cameron Sutton, though, really stepped up, of course. Still, it's crazy. We were talking about Mike Hilton being back. Sutton played 32 snaps compared to Hilton's 21 in his game being back. I think that shows that they're willing to still trust Sutton out there in the field.
Well, he earned it. I mean, he's earned it with his play. And honest to God, it's the beauty of this defense is you can put these guys in. And they're getting the job done. And once again, I think coaching in the COVID era, you know, where you're not in the room with them for the meetings and you're still getting their attention and getting them to buy in, and then they put it on the practice field and then the games. This is a fantastic job across the board for the coaching staff.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, that's our our snap count report for the Steelers, the Steelers-Jaguars game. Let us know if you ever have questions about that. We'll be happy to answer them. You can hit us up. I'm at Carter Critiques on Twitter. He's at I am Dean16 on Twitter. You can also hit us up in the Facebook group. You can join the Locked On Steelers Facebook group, which now is, I think, has over 860 members now. It keeps growing every day. But it's a loyal group of Steelers fans that listen to the show a lot, and you get to interact with me, myself, Dean, and several of the other guests that come on this show regularly. You can join that group by searching Locked On Steelers on Facebook. Ask to join the group live as soon as possible. So, all that being said, that's the snap count report. We got one more topic here. When we come back, we will be talking more about your Pittsburgh Steelers and what they're doing moving forward. But before we do that, we got to talk to our friends at Built Go. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. Whether it's a mental or a physical wall, you can break through it with Go every day. It's easy to take in just 1.5 ounce packages. You can put the package in your briefcase for your most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to help you power through the back nine, or just put it in your pocket to help you get through the day or through your workout. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's like 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling in the end. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster drink, but with a third of the caffeine and better results. And it comes in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with protein, and that protein is fast absorbing to get into your system fast. Plus, it's easier on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my workout: beta-alanine, B3, honey, and just a little kick of caffeine. And Built Go then kicks in to keep me going strong. It's got B6 and B12. And Built Go helps you get healthier joints, soft tissue, hair, and skin. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use their code LOCKED. That's LOCKED, LOCKED. And you'll get 30% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKED, 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 for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Dean Iampietro from Channel 11 WXI TV here in Pittsburgh. Dean! You know, I hesitate to talk about this because it's so obvious of a topic. And I sat through all those Zooms and pretty much everyone got asked the same question about the Steelers being undefeated. All the Steelers, we talked to Stephon Tuitt, Eric Ebron, Chase Claypool, Mike Tomlin. Everybody got asked, you know, what do you think about the team being undefeated? What do you think about the team being undefeated? What do you think about the team being undefeated? But what makes this interesting to talk about, Dean, is that they're all saying the same thing. We don't care.
Don't care. I love their message if they're legitimately buying into it. You never know behind the scenes. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Yeah, they want to go undefeated and make history. Of course they do. But I think what Mike Tomlin and the coaching staff's doing is keeping them focused to realize you are not going to win 6 games on Thursday night.
Right.
You can win 1 game on Thursday night. You have Tuitt saying, you know, is there more pressure? No, we don't talk about it at all. This is a 5-star matchup.
Yep.
You got Eric Ebron who says, you know, we're 10-0. So what? If we don't win, 10-0 was pointless. It's about the Super Bowl. You know, we're like, we got 10 wins. How do we get to 11? Not how do we get to 16. How do we get to 11? That's what's next. That's what's up next on the plate. And, you know, I even said, we're not tripping. We have one purpose. They have one purpose. Ben said it last week. Win the Super Bowl. Win the Super Bowl. At the end of the day, everything else is noise, man. And sure, who wouldn't love to shut the 72 Dolphins up, right? Not let them crack their champagne. I get it. I'm tired of them too. But if they lose this week, if they lose to the Bills, if they lose to anybody but the Browns, it's okay. You know, it's not the end of the world if they lose a game, and it's a fun run. This is a fun thing. No one should be stressing over this.
Yeah.
No one should be like, oh my God, if they lose, oh, come on. You've never seen this before from the Steelers team. You've never seen it. This is the first time any of us have ever seen this from the Steelers team. And it is just awesome to watch and to follow. The team has the right attitude about it. I like that attitude. I got to admit, I will be interested to see how Mike Tomlin handles it if it gets to, say, 14 and the division is wrapped up. I think he may still play his players at least for a half or something just to try to keep the number one seed, because if Kansas City keeps winning, they're one game behind.
Right.
So that's your issue is trying to keep that number one seed and get that bye week, because only one team gets it this year. So it's not even your top two. And so that's a factor that I think is pretty important. I mean, me, I've always been in favor of playing your guys. Play your guys. Don't rest. No rest. You know, rest after the season, okay? play. You've got to keep your momentum. You've got to keep yourself sharp. You've got to keep yourself in the game if you can play. And there's no guarantee that this run leads to anything. I was doing a little bit of research, and 10 times since 1978, when they went to 16 games, teams have started 11-0 or better, which just going with – I'm just looking ahead to the benchmark. If they are able to win on Thursday, that's where they'll be. Mm-hmm. So 10 teams, four of them won the Super Bowl, 40% starting 11-0 or better. Won the Super Bowl since 1978. So there's no guarantees there either. And you're playing good teams in the NFL. It's a fun ride. And like I said, they have the right attitude. And so, man, let's just enjoy the ride and hope it gets to 11. And then we'll worry about 12.
Yeah, that's my position with this, is that, like you said, they can't win it all right now. And the only thing you can do is focus on what's right in front of you. And as a fan, I understand it. You can't help but think every week, like, man, I don't want to lose because the ESPN's going to come after us and say we're bums and we never deserved it and all that, all those things. You know,
and they do it anyway.
Right. They're doing that anyway. You know, so what? They won by 24 this week. They're still not as good as the Ravens. You know, even though they beat the Ravens, who cares? You know, but that's the kind of stuff they'll say. But when I look at this, and I just think it's important to remind people, is that the players – they don't think like fans do. They're thinking about what they got to focus on. And that's what you want them to do right now. They don't need to be talking about, you know, who's down the line or what they're thinking about. They're focused on the here and now. And I think that the fact that every single player is saying the same thing means they actually believe it. Or if they're not believing it, that means that the coach is everywhere they go. What you say? You know, it's like, yes, coach. Yes, the Super Bowl is the only thing that matters. But that means they all know it to say it. And they don't got to look off to the side and say, what does my coach need me to say? Because they know the message. That's good coaching. That's good. You have a team together. Everyone's focused. And it says they're going in the right direction, man. And again, you look at around the league, and everyone's going to say this, that, and a third about, you know, if the Steelers lose here. Eric Ebron straight up said, so what if we lose one of these next few games? He said, he said that. He's like, if we lose, it doesn't stop us from getting to the Super Bowl. That's all we're focused on. And to me, that says the thing. And again, you know, I think it would be different also if this was a much younger team without the leadership that it has. They've got Cam Hayward, Ben Roethlisberger, Vince Williams, even though he's not a supreme playmaker, he's been around for a while. You got Joe Hayden in the secondary. You got a lot of guys who have been through the wars. They've been through the stories where they've come up short on seasons that they shouldn't have come up short on, that they're like, I don't ever want to feel like that again. This is a young team that maybe if the Steelers get to 17-0, 18-0, and they're in the playoffs and you're worried about it seeping into their minds, I think that they have the leadership to keep that, to say, yo, young buck, stay focused. We need you right here. And to keep them going that direction. But we've seen teams kind of lose that at times when they've been feeling themselves. They've been feeling like, oh, yeah, we're stuff, and they might overlook some things. And even, you know, when the Steelers weren't undefeated, the 13-3 2001 Steelers, Joey Porter said, we were feeling ourselves. You know, we thought we were good, and they got snuck by the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. And Joey Porter said, I cried that day because I dropped a pick six in my hands that would have gotten us to the Super Bowl. And that, it was those losses, those stories that built the Steelers up to say that in 2005 they were not going to let that happen. And I think that there's enough players on this roster that have been through those wars to say that this year they don't want to live through that ever again. And naturally, everyone's going to lose sometime. You know, it's got to happen. It's the NFL. Nobody goes undefeated forever. But I think it's really good that they're saying these things. They're showing these things. And Dean, I like where everyone's heads appear to be at.
I think you're onto something else there too, that might give this team an advantage. In particular, teams learning from adversity.
Yeah.
Okay. Like the 13-3 team, or the team in 2004, and when they lost and came back and then won in 2005.
Yeah.
So you look at a 10-0 team and you're like, oh, did you face adversity? Yeah.
All last year.
They have been. Well, all last year. They faced it this year too.
Yeah.
You're telling me being down 10 points to the Baltimore Ravens and then coming back isn't facing adversity. You're telling me being down, to Dallas.
Yeah.
Isn't, and coming back to win, isn't facing adversity, starting slow against the New York Giants and coming back and winning that game. That's not facing adversity. Coming back or holding off the Tennessee Titans when you thought you had the game in the bag and they're mounting this second half comeback. That's facing adversity. And that's overcoming it. This is not Alabama steamrolling Miami of Ohio. Sorry, Ben. it's not. It's the NFL, and there's going to be tough games. It's nice to see the last 2 weeks they did what they should do with weaker opponents. That's good to see. But they have been tested along the way. They've been tested with the COVID protocols, with the disruptions in routines that are so important from the beginning. From OTAs to how training camp is run. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's in intensive protocol all week, and they're dealing with their coaches on a Zoom and then going out to the practice field. What do they wear? Do they have to wear a mask? Do they not? How is this? And they're overcoming all of that, and they're thriving. And, man, we just got to enjoy the ride, man, and hope that it goes all the way down to lifting the Lombardi at the end. And that is the only thing that matters. Undefeated doesn't matter. MVP doesn't matter. Rookie of the year doesn't matter. Defensive player of the year doesn't matter. None of that matters if you are not holding that Lombardi trophy at the end of the year.
I agree, man. It's such a huge thing. And again, enjoy the ride. And here's the crazy part. I talked about this with this off camera with you as well. But, you know, the saying for teams is always, you know, it doesn't matter if we don't win at all. And that's the mentality you have to have as a competitor. If you don't achieve your ultimate goal, you failed. But as an analyst, as an observer, and I think for fans, if this team comes up short, you have to look at why they came up short. Was it a blink of an eye? Was it in the back? Because there's so many teams. I mean, that Patriots team that went 18-0 and they had the craziest of endings. Does that team stink? No. They just ran up into a tough situation and things didn't go their way. And this is the NFL. Teams are going to go things. There's so many things that are out of your control that can spin a game away from you and that you have to then fight back for. What shows how great you are is how you respond in those moments, even when it doesn't lead to wins. I thought there were several times last year where the Steelers, in that Seahawks game that they lost, I thought they fought like hell without Ben Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. To me, and I thought it was a testament to even before having Minka Fitzpatrick, what this team was able to do to fight when they were down. I thought last year having not Ben Roethlisberger for the having him for the entire season, to me that was a sign that this team was willing to be resilient to those moments, to bounce back from those moments. That this is this team believes in those things. So. I think they've got the adversity. I think they've got the message. And what's brilliant about this moving forward, now again, I'm not excusing if they lose at some point in time. I'm just simply saying it's a fact that only one out of 32 teams can win every year and not the best team in football wins. When they won in 2005, they weren't the best team in football. They got hot at the end. And that could absolutely happen. But what I think is building for this team as well, win or lose at the end of the season, there's a lot of young guys on this team that are looking around and saying, this is what it's supposed to be like. This is the culture. And there's no Antonio Brown that's out there being wild that we know of, that's out there doing crazy stuff, and that this is the kind of year that builds the culture. That say 3, 4, 5 years down the line, if Minka Fitzpatrick's still around, he's like, I remember that 2020 season when we were 10-0 and everyone was asking about being undefeated. I'm not ready to lose focus. Whether or not if they win the Super Bowl this year, it's a further affirmation. If they lose, it's fuel for the rest of their career that we can never blow this opportunity again. Either way, they've put themselves in a great position, and fans, like Dean said, just enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride, baby.
It's a lot of fun. Dean, thanks so much for coming on the show as always, and thanks for being willing to adjust to do a Tuesday instead of your Dean Wednesdays. again, we will have Tony back on next week. Congratulations to him on getting married again.
Yes, congratulations to him. I bust him, of course, at the top, but I wish him all the best in his marriage, of course.
Of course, and we're hopeful to be able to talk with him again soon and celebrate with him on the show. But Dean, thanks so much for coming on the show. Please let people know where they can follow you and find more of your work.
Find me at IamDean16 on Twitter. I will give my cheap shameless plug here. Thursday night, Black and Gold Zone pregame, 7 o'clock p.m. before the Steelers and Ravens. I'll be producing that up. And you can also find me on Facebook in the Locked On group. I've been engaging some people in there. And I do want to just take a second to say thanks to everyone who's shown supportive or that they like listening to the days that I do. I appreciate that very much. This is a new aspect to what I do and what I've done in sports. And I appreciate the feedback. And I love staying engaged with the fans there on the Facebook group as well. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Join the Facebook group, Locked On Steelers. On Facebook. I'll add you as soon as possible if you ask to join. We're over 860 strong, I think. I think we're close. We're getting close to 900. It's pretty crazy. You can also follow me, Chris Carter, on Twitter, at Carter Critiques. You can read my work where I cover the Steelers and Pitt football and basketball on for dkpittsburghsports.com, where you can subscribe for $4.99 a month and $39.99 a year. It's a great site where you can subscribe to read about your Steelers, your Pirates, your Penguins, your Pitt, your Penn State, your Duquesne, all of that on the website. Thanks so much for those who support there. If you want to if you want to support the show, one for one, subscribe. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. But if you want to support Locked On Steelers even more, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Doing so really helps us out, gets the word out there about what we're doing. And we if you do leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment behind it, we will read your review on this show. And our latest 5-star review gets this shout out. And this one's from Gary Popple. Thanks so much for this, Gary. He says, best Steelers podcast update. I sent out a review a little over a year ago, but I felt like it needed to be updated. It was a great podcast back then, and Chris has taken it to another level. The different variety of guests every week is always nice. And from Tony Tuesdays to Crossover Thursdays, as well as Jenna and Dean, this is my go-to podcast for my morning drive to work. Keep it up. 9-0, baby. And Gary, they're 10-0 now, baby. How about that? So, Gary, we salute you. Thanks so much for your 5-star review. If you want to get a shout-out like Gary, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I'll read that as soon as I can on the show. We got a lot going on this week now. It's not Crossover Thursday this week. One of the big reasons we also bumped Dean to Tuesday, because it's Thanksgiving. We're not going to do a show for Thursday morning. I like to live too. But we will do our Crossover Thursday as a Crossover Wednesday with Kevin Ostreicher of the Locked On Ravens podcast. He will be on tomorrow. So do tune in for that on Wednesday. It'll be a fun one. With all the stuff going on from Kevin, we're going to want to learn what's going on really with the Ravens from the inside. So it'll be a great show. But from Chris and Dean, thanks so much, everyone. Be safe out here. Wear a mask. Do the smart things. Protect yourselves. We would love to continue to see everyone just prosper, see the season go right. We would love to make sure that all of our Locked On listeners are safe. Take care, everyone. Be back in your ears tomorrow.